Alrighty. Alright, they gotta practice now. Hallelujah. At least they're on the way, ain't they?
Oh me here.
Yeah.
Oh me.
Amen. Hallelujah. Oh me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews tonight. The book of the Hebrews. Let's in chapter 2. Chapter 2 in the book of Hebrews. All right. Says in the first verse here, says, therefore, we ought to give the one earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of rewards, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his will. We see right here where they're speaking to the ones that is the hearers. When we come to church, we must always open up our ears. Not just our ears, but we need to open up our heart, that as the word of God goes through and goes within our ears, that it will search, it will go all the way down to our heart. And it won't go and just settle on the heart, but it will go down deep into the heart. It will penetrate it to the point that we know that it's coming from the Lord God Almighty. And we need that. We need that more today than we ever have before in our lifetime. I believe that. But not only that, we see in verse 2 says, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of rewards, how shall we escape? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How can we escape the penalties of hell if we neglect the word of God? We continue to reject God's word, and they continue to reject it and continue to reject it, but yet they want to go to heaven. You cannot go to heaven. No one can go to heaven in rejecting God's word. It is impossible. The word of God right here speaks of Jesus Christ all the way from Genesis 1:1 to the end of the book, Revelation 22:21. It's all about Jesus. That's what it's all about. That's where the New Testament comes. The New Testament comes from the Old Testament. And we have people today that they say, I just can't understand the Old Testament. I don't understand the Old Testament to the point I don't understand what they're talking about. Well, there's a whole lot of things in God's Word, even in the New Testament, I don't understand. And there's so much in the Old Testament I don't understand. But God does say that He will bring it back to my remembrance when I need it. Not until. If I don't need it today, then He's not going to bring it up to me in Scripture. He's not going to tell me in Scripture what the Scripture says. What He wants me to do, what He wants us to do, is to concentrate on the very moment that we're in. He don't want us to concentrate after the service tonight. He wants us to concentrate now. Why? Because we're here tonight. We're here in His presence. And He's here also with us. He speaks to us. He talks to us. Nobody else talks to me. And nobody else speaks to me like Jesus does. But I'll tell you one thing. When He does speak, when He does talk, I know who it is. I know who it is. Do you know who it is when He speaks to your heart? When He speaks to you, when you're reading God's Word, do you recognize His voice? We can recognize His voice. As Christians, as born-again believers, because of what He done at Calvary, He shed His blood every drop. If this cup right here was filled to the rim, and if it says that that's all what Jesus shed was right there, that was in that cup. He shed everything, every drop of blood that was in this cup. Would it be enough? Yes. You know why? Because we would trust Him in what He done and what He shed there at Calvary. We would trust Him. But not only did He didn't just shed that much. He just didn't shed a pint or two or a gallon or two. I don't know how many pints or how many gallons of blood do we have running through our bodies. But I do know one thing. It's enough there. It's enough there to cover the sin of the world. To cover every sin that's ever been committed from the time that He was come existence in the book of Genesis. And when He breathed in the nostril of mankind. And when Adam and Eve sinned against Him. He had enough blood for them and all the way through. He had enough blood for the children of Israel. He had enough blood for all the Jews today. But see, they don't recognize Him as He's come. They hold on to the past. We can't hold on to the past. Because the past does not do us any good. The past don't do me no good. The past is not going to do anything but me, but just say, well, I reckon one of these days, He's going to do His part. We got to realize that we can't hold on to the past. There's nothing we can do about the past because, see, Jesus is not living in the past. Jesus is not just living in the past. He's not living just in the present or the future. He is the past. He is the present and He is the future of us. But He tells us not to live in the past. In the book of, I think it's the book of Jeremiah, speaks of the old path. That old path that Jeremiah is speaking about, he's not speaking about that we must wish that we was living back in the 40s and the 50s to where we could see people coming to church and people coming and they would come and they would hang it in the windows at the church house. No.
not speaking of that in the old path. What he's speaking about is the Word of God. The book of Jeremiah, and what he's saying there, we must stay with the Word. We must stay with the Word. If we don't stay with the Word, what do we have? We don't have nothing. If I don't stay with the Word, what do I have? I don't have nothing. I can't fellowship with you. Why? Because you're not going to like me changing in Scripture, right? You would not allow me to stand up here behind this pulpit, and if I told you it was okay for me to start preaching from the Living Bible or the NIV, if I told you it was okay for me to do that, and if I told you that God has spoke to me and said, God says, it's fine, you can preach from that. Would you allow me to stand back and preach it? Would you allow me to read from it? You shouldn't. You should have enough respect for Faith Baptist Church as a whole. You should have enough respect for God Himself. That's the reason God put it in the Word of God. It says, when we go and when we visit someone, or when we go and we visit and we walk into the home and we just ask them how they're doing, and we don't really get into telling them about the Word, telling them about the church, or inviting them to come to church, we just stay there for about 5 minutes, and then they'll say, well, I gotta leave, and it's done. You know, there's no need in you coming back. What's the Word say? The Word says that I must turn about face and walk through the doors back outside, and as I do, before I walk outside, I need to dust my feet off. Why? Because I've walked into a place of sin. That's what the Word of God teaches. He teaches us how we can stay strong in Him. He can tell us what we must do. We must be separated. We must be individual that where somebody can come up to you and see you out. Yeah, they may come by the church and visit here at the church and see you. Be the first time they ever saw you. And then the next week or the next 2 weeks or something like that, then they may see you out at the mall. They may see you at Walmart. Or they may see you at the grocery store. But what will they see? Will they see just another individual that they had spoken to? Or will they say, I saw you the other week, you was at church. We need to come back and say, yeah, we'd love to have you come back. We'd love to have you come back. If you don't have a home church, we would love for you to come down, come back and have fellowship with us. But if you've got a home church, you need to be in your own church. You don't need to leave your church to go to another church. If a pastor said something, or somebody in any church has said something wrong to you, or said something that's ruffled your feathers or whatever, you don't need to just get up and say, well, they don't appreciate a thing I do. I'm going to leave. I've been here for 15 years. They ain't never appreciated a thing I done. No, don't leave. We don't need to leave. That's when we need to come in and we need to be bound together. That's when we need to be closer to the Lord. And one thing about it,
I would rather go to an individual that is, yes, and I know some too, and you know them too, that they've said things about me that is not true. I know that. And every time I see them, if I see them at Lowe's or at Walmart or somewhere like that, they kind of seem like they want to kind of go around this way. But if I see them, if I run into them, or if they run into me, they won't speak. They won't speak to me. They say, hey, that's it. But if I see them, and if I run into them, I go up and shake the hand. And I said, you know, it's been a long time since we saw each other. And he started saying, well, you know what happened. I said, well, I'm sorry. I didn't do nothing. But I want them to realize that I'm willing to step up and say that I'm sorry when I didn't do nothing wrong, for them to come back and have the fellowship where we can have fellowship together, because we cannot have fellowship one with another if we don't tell people that we're sorry. Some individuals, you can tell them all day long, you're sorry. You're sorry for what you've done and everything. And then the next thing you know, then they got it out. Well, bless Pat, he did do that. I mean, I just heard it. And I didn't think it was true. Well, bless Pat, he must have really done it because he said, I'm sorry. Hey, I don't want to have hard feelings between me and other people. I don't want to have no hard feelings between me and you. And I don't want you to have no hard feelings with me. If we can't work together, something is wrong. One of us is not going to heaven. Because the last time I checked the book, it don't tell me when I get to heaven that just because you may not have said you're sorry, I'm going to put you over here in this wing. And then somebody else would come in and said, I'm going to put you over here. I think I'm going to have to separate y'all. He's not going to separate us. He don't want to even separate us here. What we must be separated from is the world. But the world has done got into the church. The world has got into the church. So much today that that's what's wrong with the church. The church is so worldly that it don't know which way to go anymore. And the world, I hear, is the guy so churchy that we can't tell the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. We can't. We can't tell the difference anymore. Why? The only way we'll ever find out the difference between them is we have to stay with them 24 hours a day. See how they are at home. See how they are at work. See how close that they are to God. See if their prayer life. See about their Bible study.
reading God's Word. They said, well, oh, God speaks to me every day. They never pick up a word. How can God speak to an individual when you don't pick it up? And when you start reading what you're doing, you're asking the Lord to speak to you about so many different things. We don't understand. I don't understand why we're having to go through all of this. I don't. God does. He knows exactly the reason. And I believe it, what he says about individuals in the Bible, when he's telling them that he's allowing something to come upon their life, and reading the story behind them and everything, we can see what God is doing. God is trying his very best to build up their faith. That's what he's doing to us. He's trying to build up our faith. Not our faith in Faith Baptist Church. He's trying his very best to build up our faith in him. And if we got our faith toward him, then there's nothing impossible when it comes to God. Just like the song that I believe it was Sister Her song, Little as Much When God Is In It. Just like at one grain of mustard seed. At one little grain of mustard seed. Little as that. One little grain of mustard seed. Little as much. Oh man. In that 55 gallon barrel. I can't even see that. But he tells me that there's a mustard seed down there. I need to put my faith in that mustard seed. And if I put my faith in that one little mustard seed, he said, then you're putting your faith in me. And when you put your faith in me, then I will multiply the mustard seed. Just like what the widow lady over there in the book of Kings, chapter 17. What did Elijah do? Elijah went to her and asked her to fix him a cake. Fix him something to eat. And she told him, she said, I just have just enough for me and my son. I have just enough flour. I have just enough bread. I have just enough oil here to where I can bake you a cake. But I was going to have to bake that cake. And me and my son was going to split it. We was going to split that cake for the night. We was going to split that same cake for in the morning for breakfast. We're going to split that same cake for lunch. And we're going to split the same cake for supper tomorrow evening. But Elijah says, I want you to fix me that cake. She put her faith in Elijah. When she did, she knew that Elijah was putting his faith in God. And what happened? She cooked a cake. And she fed him. She didn't feed herself. She didn't feed her son. She fed Elijah that cake. Then she went back to the barrel. And saw it was empty. Nothing there to make another cake out of. Then the oil completely dry. But because she obeyed God's servant, Elijah, and because Elijah obeyed God, she went back a little later and she looked in the barrel. She looked in that barrel and she saw that that barrel was continuing filling up and flowing over continually. The barrel or whatever to help the oil, she went there. And she said that she saw that oil just sprang up. The oil just sprang up. Why? Because she put her faith in God's man. Now that's back then. Now, we know also that the Lord, God Almighty, He fed Elijah before then, before he come down to the creek or the brook or whatever. He fed him with the manna from above. He fed him with the ravens. Elijah hadn't missed a meal. Elijah knew what he was going to have. He knew if he wanted a 7-course meal, he'd have a 7-course meal. Why? Because he trusted God. Do we trust God enough to believe that God will do what He says He's going to do? Do we trust His word enough to believe and what He says, He will do it. He will do it. He's not going to do it on my timetable. He's not going to do it the month that I want it done. He's not going to do it on a particular Sunday that I want it done. He's going to do it when least expected. When least expected. That's just like a thief. When someone breaks into your home or my home, what do they come in for? They come in. They come in. Why? Because they want something. But they're not going to come in there if I've got a TV in there. If I've got a brand new TV in there and it 4, 5, or 6 months old or something like that, and all of a sudden it just quit playing, it quit, don't have no sound on it. And then there's another TV in there that's in the house. It has sound on that one, but it's not as new as the other one. Which one do you think that they're going to take? They're not going to take the one that they're going to have repaired. They're going to take the one that they don't have to have repaired. They're going to take the very best that we have. And which the very best of what I have may not be the very best of what someone else has. But what is in the home, they come to rob and to steal what you have. My home, our home was broke into back in the 80s, I believe it was. And we hadn't been probably 2 days when I went down to Lowe's and bought one of these kerosene heaters like the one when we got here to church. And it was completely full of kerosene. I couldn't even tote it inside the house. It was so heavy. But I did finally get it in there. But here it was them. They come in. And when they broke in the basement through a window. They crawl through the window. And then they come up the steps. And when they come up the steps, what do? They busted the door. And they come on in. Then my wife, she comes home from work before I get there. And she looks and she said, "What in the world has he bought again?" Because she knew that I'd bought purchased something. Because I always come home with some type of wood that I purchased that day or something. But she called me. I believe it was. I don't know if it was or not. But when I got there, here she was, standing outside. My uncle was down there, standing outside with her. Had the sheriff there. Someone was inside and someone was on the outside. And I said, "What in the world's happened?" And they told me that somebody broke in. Well, they broke in and they didn't really steal all that much from us, took that much from us. But what they did get in that particular item was the very best that we had. I think it was a watch that they got of mine, that it was a fairly new watch. It run. And I had some other watches there that didn't run. Do you think and would you believe that they would take a watch that wouldn't run? No. Why? Because they couldn't sell it. They can't sell it to somebody else. Get rid of it. They couldn't sell it for $1 or $5. Why? Because it won't run. But the one that was running, they said, well, instead of $5, maybe we can get $10 for that one. And then, bless Pat, then they go over there and they say, they got a tape cassette and some other stuff. And went through the drawers in the bedroom and everything. And right before they left, they saw the kerosene heater sitting there. And they grabbed it. And they toted the kerosene heater down the steps, out into the basement, out through the window, down across the yard, and through the woods. But what did they get? They just got things. See, things can be replaced. Things can be replaced. But see, lives can't be replaced. And there are lives I hear today that are dying every day. And they'll have their family member who says, "Well, I really can't say where they're at. I tell you what. When you go visit a family, or when you are part of that family, and you know that they are there in heaven, it makes everything there a whole lot easier. We'll never forget about them. We can't. We can't forget about them. Why? Because there thou where Jesus is at. Right? They with Jesus, right?
Well, something happens to me. And if y'all come down here and view my body, and here I am lying in a casket. You know where I've gone? I've gone to heaven. Well, yes, my wife and my daughter, they'll be upset. Because they don't have the husband, they don't have the daddy. And you that are here don't have your pastor. You know what that's all about when you went through that with Brother Poovey. But one thing about it. If you know within your heart, and my family knows within their heart, where I'm at, that I'm with the one there in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, how far is he away from me? Hey, right now he still lives within my heart. Not only does he still live within my heart now, but he's still living with my heart then. So we're not that far away from our loved ones. We're just 12 or 14 inches away. Because they're there in our heart. Why? Because Jesus is there. Where Jesus is at is where they're going to be at also. It's just something about Jesus.
I just love to talk about him. And when I say that, talk about him, I'm not talking about him in an uncertain or a way that where I belittle him. I just love talking to him. Because I can get strength when I talk to him. When I get in the Word of God, then he gives me strength through his Word. And he can separate me and he can separate my life from the others I hear. I love him tonight with all my heart. I'll do anything he asks me to do. I'll go anywhere he's asked me to go. If he burns me down by being a missionary overseas, I'd have to go. I'd have to go. He's done so much for me, and I haven't done nothing for him compared to what he has just thought about doing, much less going all the way to the cross. Do you love him tonight? Do you? You want to see this church grow? Not just grow with just the number of people. Not just grow with somebody else's people where they there at a church where they're members of. And they just want to just say, well, we just need to change. I believe God's in this. I believe God wants me to leave. I believe God wants me to leave this fellowship. And God wants me to go over here. I don't think we serve a God like that. I don't think God comes down here to tell anybody. You need to go up and fellowship with them. I don't believe God is like that. I will tell people myself, if you can go and worship someone somewhere else. And then you can be closer to God there than you can here. Then that's where you need to be at. That's where you need to be at. But I don't think God puts it upon an individual to leave one fellowship and go to another one. Especially when the fellowship itself is strong in what they preach and what they believe in. But yet, just because the church is dwindling down, just because the people are dying out, just because the church is not as large as it was, or we don't have the same problem that we used to have, they will use that excuse to leave the church. No, that's no excuse. You can come up with all kinds of excuses, but that's not an excuse. That is something I believe that you decided on your own in whom you're serving. And you ain't serving God. And they are not serving God.
We just need to get back. I'm speaking to myself too. Lord, I'm speaking to myself, mainly me, that I need a closer walk with Him. I need a closer walk with Him. I don't need to be somebody just come here and just stand up here and talk and preach. I just need to have a closer walk with Him. I need to feel His bosom up against me. That when I feel it, that I can say, Lord, thank you. It's been a while. Thank you, Lord. It's been a while. And we have got an opportunity here. That's a whole lot of churches don't have. We've got a big opportunity right here to do something for the Lord. And we also have something here that the Lord wants to bless us with. How many of you tonight would say, preacher, yeah, I need a blessing. I need a closer walk with God. Can you say that? Can you just raise your hand and admit to it that you need? We all need a closer walk. We all need a closer walk. And we need to do what we can without compromising His word. We're not going to have no singing tonight, but I want to ask you, are you willing to get up from your seat and come to the front and pray for revival? Pray for Brother James that he will preach exactly what the Lord wants him to preach. And as he's preaching, that the Lord and the Holy Spirit will get a hold to our hearts. I mean, we need to start doing some things that we haven't done. And I haven't done my part either. And it's because of some situations and my health and everything.
But that should not give.
That should not be an excuse to come up with. I need to just say, Lord, you're in control. I'm going to do what you asked me to do. If I feel like going or not, I'm going. If I feel like doing this or not, I'm going to do it. Because I believe the Lord will appreciate it. I believe the Lord loves me enough to where if he sees what I'm doing for him, because of my health problem may be kind of weakened, my legs may be weak, but I should not give in to it. I should not give in to an excuse. Because what I'm saying is when I give in to it, I said, Lord, I just can't do it like I used to. He said, well, ain't I the same? Yesterday, today, and forevermore. Ain't I the great physician? Haven't I touched you before? I need to do more for him. I'm talking about more. I'm talking about being a better pastor, being a better preacher, being a better servant for the Lord, to be a better witness for him. I need to be better than I am. In the book of Hebrews, has that word, the better, B-E-T-T-E-R, throughout the scripture. Throughout the book of Hebrews, it's in there. That we must be better at this. We must be better than that. We must be better. The Lord's spoken to your heart tonight. You come. Our Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight. As sinners, Father, but Father, we'll save sinners. And Lord, and I know, Father, as long as if we stay out of thy word, and Father, we stay away from our prayer life, and we stay away from trying to grow in you. Father, we know what is going to happen. Yet, yes, one day we're going to have to pay. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. We thank you for that. Father, we thank you for this precious gift that you've given each one of us. Father, we thank you, Father, for the health that we have, that we can still go and we can still invite people. We can still go. We can still pray. We can still read the Word of God. And Father, as we read the Word of God, that we can be covered with the Word of God. And Lord, that you may speak through us each and every day of our lives. And Father, if we start out tomorrow, and Father, you see where we are going in the wrong direction, Lord, I'm praying now that the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, will grab a hold of that steering wheel. And yes, and the Holy Ghost will take that signal light, the signal switch there, Father. Whatever, which way he wants me to go, Father, I pray that I'll go the way that you want me to go. I'll go visit. I'll go call. I'll go speak to the individual that you want me to speak to, Father. Father, my prayer is now that, Lord, that you allow me to be a better servant for thee. And Father, not only that, that you would allow me to be a better pastor, a better preacher. And Father, that I can be here for the people. And Lord Jesus, that the people can say that I know he wants to be there for us, and we need him. Lord, they don't need me, they need you. The people that's out here, that's on the highway, they need you. Father, Sister Brenda, and Brother Charlie, and Michael, they need you, Father. They need to be back in the house of the Lord. And Father God, if it's anything that I can say to them, or anything that I can do, Father, to get them back in the fellowship, Father, you just give me the okay. You give me the words to say. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, not only them, but Father, for Sister Kelly, Brother Johnny, and the two children there, JJ and Catherine, Father. Oh, Lord Jesus, we pray, oh God, that you will just speak to them, speak to their hearts. Father, we love these people. We don't want to see no harm come to them. Father, I just want them to be able to come back and in fellowship and have fellowship with you, Lord. They can get into the church, and Lord, that they can have the Spirit of God to teach them what the Word of God says. And Father, that you can bring the blessing to them. And Father, we know, Lord Jesus, that only you can bring the blessings. Only you, Father, can do these things. Father, I pray, Lord, tonight for Sister Janet and Brother Ricky, Father. Lord Jesus, that you may speak to their heart tonight. Lord, we pray, oh God, that if it's any reason or anything at all, the reason that people are not coming back, if I'm the reason, Lord, my prayer is, Father, that you may speak it to the people that's here tonight. And Lord, and let them speak to me, and let them talk to me about maybe something I may be doing wrong. But Father, I don't want to do anything wrong. I don't want to keep people out of the house of the Lord. I don't want to keep people from getting saved. And I don't want people to where they cannot receive your blessings, Father. Father, we pray for all these individuals. And Lord, for all the other individuals that is not coming. Father's not in church. Yes, Lord, we pray for Sister Linda, Father, Coates, there. Father, we ask God that you just touch her. Touch that family, Lord, if they're not in church. We pray for them, Lord. And God, we pray, Father, for the other couple that come and visited our church here a while back, Father, first of the year. Father, we ask, Lord Jesus, you'll speak to their hearts. Let them know, Father, that you do love them. Let them know, Father, that you care for them. And yes, Father, my prayer would be that you would also let each one of these individuals know that I love them. I don't want to see nothing happen to them. I don't want to see no chastisement to come upon them. I just want to see them in church. I just want to see them, Father, where the blessings that you have prepared for each one of them. Lord, we just pray, God, that you will just minister. If it's someone that I missed tonight, Father, you know who they are, and we pray, Father, for them. Lord Jesus, we ask, God, that you will touch them tonight. Father, we pray, God, Father, that you'll release the Holy Spirit now upon each one of these individuals, that you will allow the Holy Spirit to speak to them in the only way that he knows how. We come to you and we thank you for what you've done. And yes, and I'm going to thank you ahead of time and what you're going to do. Whether the song that Sister Huff sung, little as much when you are in it. When you are in the midst of us. Father, yes, it may be little in number. We may have just a few here. But Father, we know, Lord Jesus, like the song says, yes, we're little. Little as much when you're in it. And Father, I know within your heart, Lord, that you want to do something for these people. You want to do something for this church. Father, we have the room. Father, we need people. Father, we just need them, Father, where they can come in and they can walk the aisle. Father, that's the only way that we're going to see people saved today. That's the only way we're going to see the church grow, is by new converts. Father, go with us tonight to our respective homes. Be with us in the morning, Father. Be with each one of us. Lay upon our heart the individual, Father, that you want us to talk to, speak to, or whatever, pray for. And we pray tonight for Brother James Albert. Father, as he is going to come and he's going to open your word and he's going to read your scripture. But Father, we know that the words that comes through his lips, we're asking, Father, now that you will allow the Holy Spirit to speak to him and through him, Father, and speak to thy people. We pray, Father, that the church will be, if not always full, Father, but halfway. Father, we just pray for the ones that come. Lord Jesus, if there's someone that's lost, help us, O Father, that we may be able to take your word and lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you and we love you because of everything that you've done for us and everything that you're going to do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.